Please join me as I pray. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we ask that you would open our hearts now to receive your word, that we might be drawn close to you and learn more about what God is like and what he asks of us and how he accomplishes his work in us through Jesus Christ our Lord, who forever lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I saw a cartoon in the New Yorker earlier this week that pictured a typical subway ride in Manhattan, and on one side of the subway car, everybody's jammed in, packed tight, and standing up and sitting on each other's laps and hanging from the things above, as subway cars often are in New York City. But on the other side, the row is completely empty, except for one guy who's sitting there all by himself. He's wearing a t-shirt which reads, "Ask me about my religion." And it was entitled, "The Surest and Best Way to Get a Seat in the Subway." And I thought, you know, isn't that perhaps sometimes the case with how we talk about Christian faith? Certainly, Christian faith is a very personalized thing. And yet, oftentimes, I wonder if to those of you who perhaps are looking in on Christianity from the outside, if it really seems like we make the Christian faith all about our opinions and what we want and what we think and what we do and what we think you should do. In other words, we oftentimes are in danger of making it all about ourselves. But it's interesting that when Jesus was asked how to pray, he gave his disciples what we now have called the Lord's Prayer, and we've been looking all summer at each phrase of the Lord's Prayer, and today we come to the very last phrase. And it's interesting that in that phrase, we conclude the Lord's Prayer by completely taking ourselves out of the picture and saying to God, "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." In other words, the kingdom, the power, the glory, these big words, big concepts, all three of them go together. All of them belong to God, not us. Very interesting thing, because I tend to think oftentimes that we think of prayer as asking God to do something for us. And Jesus has us in this prayer by ascribing all of the credit and everything to him. And the question we ask ourselves is, well, doesn't God know that the glory and the kingdom and the power belong to him? Why pray this prayer? And that's the question I want us to deal with today as we conclude this series. Why pray this prayer? Why pray, "Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen"? Well, looking at this through the lens of Psalm 145, which Kathy just read, we're given two reasons that we should pray this prayer. It tells us that we should pray this prayer because it reminds us that God is bigger than we think, and it reminds us that God is closer than we think. So why pray this prayer? Two reasons. It reminds us God is bigger than we think and God is closer than we think. So let's look first of all. The first reason to pray this, "Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory," is because it reminds us that God is bigger than we think. Now, this is only 11 verses. And yet in these brief 11 verses, which are a prayer, we see the word "all," A-L-L, mentioned 16 times. I mean, you probably noticed a few. I mean, he begins in verse 9, "The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made." Another example, verse 13, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words, gracious in all his deeds. He upholds all who are falling, raises up all who are bowed down. Almost in every single phrase in this prayer, he is using this word all to remind us that God doesn't just direct some things, he directs all things. He doesn't just have compassion on some people, but on all people. In other words, it's a reminder that the one who is really in control is not us, but God. And he will get his way regardless of what we do or don't do. Now, I would imagine that most, if not all of us, would agree with that in theory. And yet, you know, we live our lives in such a way that shows that we're not quite convinced that God cares for all people. I mean, I'm convinced he cares for all the people that I like, right? But what about the people that irritate me? I mean, we really want our to build our own kingdoms, you might call it. We want to be able to ease our seats back on a long flight. But if the person in front of us wants to ease their seat back, then it's our right to put a knee protector or a knee defender on those seats. Even if a fight breaks out and they have to land, it was my right. This is my little kingdom, this space, right? We all do these things because our lives in many ways are our constant frustrating pursuit of trying to obtain power for ourselves, trying to obtain control. The writer Henry Nouwen puts it this way. He says, power is so seductive because power offers an easy substitute for the hard task of love. It seems easier to be God than to love God. It seems easier to control people and to love people. See, that's why we need to pray this prayer. One of the biggest struggles I find myself having in times of difficulty is the struggle of trying not to function as the God of my own life, but just trusting that God will get his way. So I need to be reminded that God is bigger than I think. His dominion rules over all. His power is over all generations, and the Lord is just in all his ways. So that's the first reason we pray this last phrase of the Lord's Prayer. It reminds us that God is bigger than we think. Now, there's a second reason we pray this prayer, and that's this. It reminds us that God is closer than we think. Now, it's interesting that of all the examples that the psalmist could use to show the fact that God's presence is all-powerful and that he controls all things and that his kingdom is broad and inclusive and overall, the example he gives is something that happens all the time that we oftentimes don't even notice. Look at what he says in verse 15. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. God simply giving food to his creatures and particularly to his people. And I love this because, you know, we live in a time where we're attracted to the big and the splashy and the impressive and the spectacular. And we think that if we don't see God doing those things, that it must mean that he is far from us, when in fact, he's near to us in simple things like having a meal. And of course, the most poignant way that we see that happening is at the Lord's table. The Christian Reformed pastor and author Neil Plantinga says this about partaking of communion. He says, when you hand someone a tray of food, you're saying to them that you want them to live. And one of the ways we celebrate communion here, as we will do today, is we remain seated and we pass the elements to the person next to us, and we say to each person, the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. And what we're saying is, God is closer than you think. He is opening his hand and feeding you and satisfying your deepest desire, which is to be close to him. You see, through these simple acts that God does to show how near he is, he's not only showing us how close he is, but he's actually drawing us into his story. We say in the communion liturgy, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Each week we say some type of creed in the church, and what we're essentially doing is retelling the story of the Bible, retelling the story of the gospel, and it's drawing us in that we might participate in it. Which means that that's when we're close to God. Now, there was a movie that came out when I was a kid that was based on a book, and it was called The Never-Ending Story. And it was a fascinating movie, and it was a children's story. It was about a little boy who goes into a bookstore, and he finds this little book, and what he doesn't realize is that it's actually somehow enchanted. And when he opens the book, he encounters all of these amazing and quirky and interesting characters, and he's observing them as he reads. And as he reads, he begins to realize that the characters in the book are actually aware of him. And then the story continues, and as he reads on and on, he realizes that the story is actually about him. And you see, that's what happens when we pray, Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. We're telling God that all belongs to him. We're asking him to surrender our lives to him, that we may be content with his ways in the world. But we're asking that he would draw us into his kingdom, that we would participate in whatever way he sees fit. That's one of the reasons I love being a pastor, is because he draws each of you into his kingdom, into his story, into the ministry of the church, into the community, in ways that are uniquely special to who you are. And that's one of the ways that we are drawn close to Jesus, the one who came not simply to give us good advice, but to give us the good news that because of his cross and his resurrection and the promise that he is coming again to take us to be with him in glory, that we will be like him. Participate and be drawn into the story, the good news of Jesus. That's why we pray this prayer. It's because it reminds us that God is bigger than we realize and that God is closer than we realize. His love is bigger than we realize, and his love is closer than we realize. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.